What a day. What a day. Welcome the most handsome and cutest crew ever. Yeah, whichever ones you want, babe.
One sec. Awesome.
Jeff is so on it that he knows
Jeff.
To mute microphones.
Well, good morning, everyone. Before I pray for my amazing wife here, we were just, you're going to hear a message that really embodies joy today. And if any of you know this one right here, my beautiful wife, she is somebody that embodies that so well. And she's somebody who challenges me all the time in the way she's so positive sometimes, where I'm almost can be frustrating. I'm like, how are you so positive? But it's just the joy of the Lord in her. And as we were praying and talking about this morning, you know, there's just a reality that everyone in this room is dealing with some sort of circumstance. There might be a sick family member, or maybe you lost your job, or maybe, you know, you had an argument with this person or that. But we all have the choice. We have the choice to partner with that thing or that darkness, or we have the choice to choose joy. And we as believers, it's our call to choose joy. It's our call to be a light in the darkness and to leave today being so bright that people think, man, your life must be perfect. It's like, well, it's not, but I have the perfect King who I get to partner with and choose joy. And so
And we can go home now.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. And even to give context to, I like numbers and everything, and I plugged into my phone. I'm like, okay, so if you get to go to church freely, if you had a roof to sleep under, and if you had food this morning, you're in the top 20-ish% of the world just by those things. And I could probably go down a list and narrow us all into, you know, the 1%. And so we all have things to be grateful for, and let's choose to focus on those things. So if you could reach your hands out to my wife, let's pray. Lord, we thank you. We thank you that we have a place to freely worship, Lord. We have a place to freely speak about you and grow more into knowing you, Lord. And so we just pray that this room would just be filled with the joy of your presence today, Lord. The joy of your strength, the joy of your word, the joy of our forgiveness and all the things that you give us, Lord. And so I just pray over my wife, Lord, right now that gift of joy that you have placed so deeply in her, Lord, that it would just spill over into this room, Lord, and that it wouldn't be her, but it would be you, Lord. So we thank you for just the beautiful country that we live in, the beautiful place we get to be, Lord, the joy of community, the joy of all the things that we have, Lord. And we just say no to the blown tires, the lost jobs. We just laugh at those things, Lord, because we know that we're building perseverance. We're building a knowing you deeper in those things, Lord. So we just pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, babe. Woo! What a day. What a life. Amen? Amen. As we were worshiping, I was blessed, very blessed. And I believe that there is reality, there was a giving of our hearts to the Lord. And I think that as believers, we put a lot of emphasis on that because we're supposed to. And it is a huge part of our journey with the Lord. But I believe that the Lord wants to activate people today. I believe he wants to wake us up. I believe he wants to shake off heaviness. I believe he wants to put mission into people today. And in that, we've surrendered our hearts, and now it's time to surrender our minds. And it's a call to mature believers. Pastor Rich got a smile on his face. Pastor Rich, during worship, I was so touched. You were so highlighted to me. And as we were singing the last song, and it was just a reminder to me of someone who, which we're going to jump into in this message, but an attitude of gratitude. And you live that out, and the joy of the Lord oozes through you. And it is such a gift to have pillars in the house of God and believers that we get to look up to that have lived this out. My papa right behind him, big smile on his face, where they have every opportunity to be in the church. They're here. My grandma, as we're talking about joy, she's over there waving her hand. But that should be our example, because it's those who have leaned into the joy of the Lord and they're fruitful in old age. In, you know, I'm just saying this as verses, but the reality of in every season they're able to bear fruit, and that's what God wants to do in us. And I kind of got a little fire in me right now because I am really sick and tired of people, not people, that sounds so bad. I'm really sick and tired of seeing people get weighed down from the worries and weights of the world and being stuck outside of mission and call and importance that the Lord has given to all of us. And things that I hear like burnout and all this stuff, I believe is very avoidable when we lean into the joy of the Lord. And I think that it happens when we forget about the joy of the Lord, the joy of our salvation, what this is all about. And then we get weighed down by the weight of the world, the worries of the world. And then we have a whole bunch of people that don't get to fulfill their mission and their call in the Lord. And I'm tired of that. I'm really tired of it because it's lame. It's so lame when we see people who are amazing. And then all of a sudden they're like, I don't know. They get put into isolation, all these different things. It's such an attack of the enemy, and it's extremely avoidable. And so we're going to jump into how we become mature believers, how we live this out, how we walk out the joy of our salvation, and what that gets to look like as a body of believers who believe this and live with purpose. How does that sound? Good. Okay. Joy, first of all, we have to understand that joy is important to the Lord. And if I believe that, then it will become important to me, right? If it's important to the Lord, it probably should be important to me. So when we think about Jesus is coming, in Luke 10, Luke 2:10, not Luke 10, sorry. Laura's like, what? That verse was not there. All right, Luke 2:10, but the angel said to them, do not be afraid. I bring to you good news that will bring great
joy.
It will bring great what?
Joy.
Yes, to all of the people. So the good news was to bring great joy to everyone. The arrival of Jesus, his coming, the fruit of that should be great joy. And first of all, it's good for us to understand that right off the bat. It's like, oh, him coming into my life should result in great joy. Thank you, Lord. In Romans 14, verse 17, for the kingdom of God is not a matter of eating and drinking, but of righteousness, peace, and
joy.
Righteousness, peace, and
joy.
In the Holy Spirit. So one of the phrases that you'll hear in our circle a lot of the time is that joy is a third of the kingdom, which is fun. We take it from this verse. That joy is a third of the kingdom according to this verse here. We could then go into that, you know, faith, hope, and love. Anyways, I'm just saying that because of a conversation with my dad. Bless you in Mexico, mom, dad, all of you that are there watching live stream, soaking up the sun. They're experiencing great joy. But I share this because it's important. If I don't have joy in my life, I'm missing out on a lot of the kingdom of God. So this is to be encouraging for us, but this is also to let the Holy Spirit, as I'm sharing this, reveal, bring things to the light. If it's like, that's not very evident in my life right now, it's an invitation. It's what it is. So if joy is not present in my life, then there's a part of the kingdom that I have full access to, but I'm just not walking in yet. Hebrews 1:9, it explains Jesus, describes Jesus as being the one who is anointed with the oil of gladness more than his companions. So Jesus, our example, our Savior, the one we model our lives after, he was anointed with the oil of gladness, the oil of joy, more than anyone else. So if you look at Pastor Jamie, he's someone who exudes joy. He has a smile that lights up a room, right? Pastor Jamie, will you raise your hand, please? He's like, hide. He's so not someone who puts himself out there for everyone. But he lights up any room he walks in. He's one of Hudson's favorite humans. We got Uncle Jamie over here and Aunt Kim. And the other day we were in the office. They were hanging out and Uncle Jamie put his hands like this and Hudson leaped towards him. But there's a reality that I say this as a context, that he exudes the oil of gladness. Jesus exuded the oil of gladness. Children came to Jesus, correct? All right, so my son, he will either give you the biggest smile in the whole wide world or he will mean mug, observe, and sometimes you have to work for smiles. But I say this because the oil of gladness is attractive to children as well. You know, kids like to go to someone who is smiling, happy, full of joy. If you've got, you know, a mean-looking face, a serious face, most children are not thinking, yay, let me go to you. So I say this, you just made me think of it. But that reality, that's what Jesus carried. That's who he was. Children came to him. Everyone came to him because of the joy that was exuding from him. Obviously many other things, but I can give this example here. Nehemiah 8, verse 10 says, "This day is holy to our Lord. Do not grieve, for the joy of the Lord is your strength." For the joy of the Lord is your strength. It's our strength, it's our empowerment. And I think that sometimes we can take messages like this, hearing a phrase like that, and just kind of be like, well, the joy of the Lord's my strength, but not actually lean into it. Or we kind of brush over the fact that there absolutely are hard things that come in life. This is battle. This is example of that. And in the midst of the battle, what was strength and empowerment? Joy. In the process of the battle, the empowerment and the strength was joy. And one of my favorite people to listen to, she knows it's coming, I thought you did, sis, it's all right. You kind of gave me a look like I'm not sure now. Steve Backlund, he is a huge influence in my life. And he says, you don't need strength at the end of the battle, you need strength in the middle of the battle. And it's true, because if I have joy, and he says you don't need joy at the end of the battle, you need it in the middle. And it's true, if I have joy in my life, I see properly. If I don't have joy, I get cloudy in my vision, and I get discouraged. And then when I get discouraged, it's easy for me to pull back. And then when I pull back and I'm discouraged, then I start to look at all of the negative things that are going on. And then all of a sudden my focus is on every negative thing. And I just keep getting pulled back and back from the assignment that the Lord actually has for me versus when I lean in that, Lord, you are my joy, you're my strength. He gives me clear vision for the battle. It's really important, and what I want to jump into in a little bit is how do we apply this to our lives? Because it takes discipline, it takes us renewing our minds and actually giving the Lord our minds. Because there's a battlefield of the mind that takes place every single day. You know, as Kai was sharing, it's like, yeah, we don't want to just give ourselves to an altar. You know, we come and we encounter Jesus, and it's wonderful. And then you're going to go in your car, and you're going to have life. And all of a sudden, that encounter should lead us into transformation. And a part of that transformation is the renewing of our minds. Isaiah 61, verse 3 promises that the Lord gives us the oil of joy instead of mourning. That's encouraging. He gives us joy instead of mourning. Who has experienced mourning in their life? Who has experienced the joy in the Lord in the midst of absolute mourning? Yeah. Did it give you hope? Did it all of a sudden give you purpose and vision again? Because that's who Jesus is, and that is our portion as believers. In Psalm 51, verse 12, it says, "Restore to me the joy of my salvation and uphold me by your generous spirit." Restore to me the joy of my salvation. When you first got saved, when we first gave our life to Jesus, who experienced this wild, easy, childlike joy? Yes, amen. I would spend, I would truly spend hours just in the presence of the Lord, and I was really good at it then, and I'm working on being better at it now. I'm being honest. I was really good. I mean, I had my Joaquin Evans CD that I'd put in my Honda Civic. I drove to high school, you know, and I'm listening and just experiencing the presence of the Lord. I remember being like, I don't want to go into school. I just want to enjoy Jesus in my car. And then I would drive home and I had my like Iris worship album and I would just pull into the parking, not parking lot, but I'd go into our driveway. And I remember just sitting and just enjoying the presence of God in my car for I don't know how long, but it was the joy of my salvation. I was walking in it. And then, you know, I start walking through life and I can forget the beauty and the joy of my salvation in the Lord. But Jesus, I believe today, so much so, wants to restore joy into our lives, the joy of our salvation. He does. Psalm 16, verse 11, "You will show me the path of life. In your presence there is..." Woo! Yes, not partial joy, not a little bit. "Fullness of joy. And at your right hand, there are pleasures forevermore." I like that. I like that that's my king. And sometimes I forget that. Sometimes I forget that in his presence is fullness of joy. Because sometimes I get battle ready and I'm like, oh, what do I need to fix, you know? And I'm like, oh, wait. Huh. In the presence of God, there's fullness of joy. I can enjoy him. There are pleasures forevermore. Romans 15, verse 13. "Now may the God of hope fill you with..." How much joy?
All
joy. "And peace in believing, that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit." Woo! May the God of hope fill us with all joy and peace in believing. So that's why I said he's going to go after our minds today. And some of you have probably heard very similar messages to this, but I believe it's things we have to remind ourselves and stir up and practice because we live with us every day. We live with our mind every day, every situation. I have me and I have my thoughts. So he's promised me that I can have all joy and peace in believing and that I can abound in hope. So I want that and I want to make sure that I believe properly so that that's my portion. Because when we know what's available for us, we know what to fight for and what to not settle for. Because a lot of the time, I really do believe that we settle into, you know, anxiety. We settle into depression. We settle into all these things because we don't know our original intent and design in the Lord and what's our portion as believers. And so we just kind of walk around and we're like, I guess I have to feel this way. But then we kind of get encouraged because I came and when I was in worship, I got really blessed. But now I'm at work and I have a lot of stress again. Does that make sense to anyone? Yeah, and Jesus doesn't want that. He wants the full meal deal for us. He wants us to really walk in joy in every single area of our life. So how do we do this? Because we know it's available. Now let's jump in, let's apply it, and let's live this out. One of the things that's really important is we have to understand the power of our words. Because I'm the steward of myself. My husband, he is not, you know, he's not my keeper. He can want things for me so badly, but he can't change me. I have to choose everything for myself. And so I have to take ownership. Linda's like, come on, because I'm not a victim. Oh, thank you, Jesus. So I got to take some ownership, and I need to realize, what am I speaking? Because what I'm speaking is actually creating my world that's around me, that we're made in the image of God. God spoke the earth into creation. He spoke it into motion, right? And we're made in his image. And so in Proverbs, it says that the power of life and death is in the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruit. So what world am I creating with my words? What am I speaking? Am I someone who really will speak life or not? And I was thinking about this, where if we think about the Israelites, I mean, they grumbled and complained, right? They would have an amazing encounter with God, and then they would grumble and they would complain. And what happened? They died in the wilderness, yes. They didn't get to enter into the promised land. It was like delayed promises, delayed fruit, delayed, 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 because they grumbled and complained. And so how often do I do that with the call of God on my life? You know, I start complaining, I start grumbling, and the Lord is so good. We'll go into other things. He works things out for my good, all these other areas. But there is a reality that oftentimes I delay my progress with the Lord by what I'm speaking. And he's faithful. He's extremely patient. So he helps us. Praise God. But if I realize the strength that he's given me with my words, it should encourage me to be and put some fear of the Lord in me, because I also will be judged for every idle word when I'm before him, which that scares me. That puts the fear of God into me, where I'm like, oh, I'm going to be judged for every idle word. Yes. With that, he's given me the ability to speak life. So will I choose to? It's up to me. Will I focus on what God is doing? Because he's always moving. He's always doing things. So what has my focus? Let's go to Philippians 4. It's probably there because Laura is amazing. All right, Philippians 4. Rejoice in the Lord. And again, I will say, rejoice. So when we're singing songs like, bless the Lord, O my soul, we're rejoicing in him. And then he says here again, and do it again. Do it always, and then do it again. So that's our invitation. Rejoice in the Lord always, and again, I will say, rejoice. Let your gentleness be known to all men. The Lord is at hand. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. That's right. Let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, is there any virtue? And if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. The things which you learned and received and heard and saw in me, these do, and the God of peace will be with you. So, if I'm meditating on things that aren't aligned with that, am I probably walking in the portion of the God of peace will be with you? No. According to scripture, no. Breakthrough Ministry team, would you say that it's probably not your reality? Everyone's like, awkward silence right now, make us uncomfortable. But there's a reality that we have to take ownership of our thoughts. So the Lord, he's so good, and he gives us beautiful instruction and says, here's your portion, here's everything that's available to you. I'm a perfect father who cares, so I will give you clear boundaries. I'll give you clear guidelines. And when you walk this out, this is the fruit of your life that's fully available to you. Will you choose it? And he's a God who gives us free will and choice because he's actually after our hearts. And as he's after my heart, then I get to choose to either come under his lordship and go, okay, this is what you say. I want to apply my life this way. Or I cannot do that. And then I can actually submit to the devil, is really what's happening, by choosing to live my own way. So, as royalty in this room, because that's who we are in the Lord, right? He says, think on these things. So when I walk into a room and if I walk into a conversation and I'm hearing negative things, I'll say, Angelica can really live this out right now. She's got some not fun things going on at work. And her choice is, okay, I'm really frustrated right now. I've been dealt some cards that, man, I don't like. They're not fun. They don't really make a lot of sense. But she has full choice to choose what she's going to meditate on. She can choose to be like, well, I'm really mad about this. I'm mad about this. This is terrible. This is terrible. And most likely, the fruit of her life will be more frustration, more anger, bitterness, or she can meditate on all the good things that are going on, and the God of peace will be fully present with her. That peace can be her portion in the midst of craziness. I can be a peacemaker. Blessed are the peacemakers, they're children of God. So what am I speaking? What am I meditating on? What am I bringing to the table? Am I bringing complaints, or am I meditating? Am I joining in on conversations that are not lovely? Am I joining in on gossip? Am I joining in on all these things? Because it's my choice. I can do it or I cannot do it. So we focus on what God is doing. We think on these things. He's so good. He's doing so much. I'll tell you, on Friday night, we had our women's ministry, our women's worship night. It was so powerful. It was incredible, all the things the Lord did. He's doing so many good things. Joy is a choice. I'll jump into this more, but let's just give some more verses. We got a lot of verses to go through. All right. Give thanks, an attitude of gratitude. We're going to jump to that next one. So 1 Thessalonians 5:18, Laura. In everything, give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. So rejoice always, pray without ceasing, and everything give, for this is the will of God. So the will of God for my life is to live a life of gratitude and to give thanks. You know, do everything unto the Lord. I'll just give some practicals here. I've had people tell me before, and I'm not acting like I do this perfect at all, but I do have deep conviction about it. And this is when I talked about, like, I get frustrated when people are like, oh, I'm burnt out, I'm this, because I'm like, I've got examples of people who have laid down their lives for the Lord, and they're far from burnt out, so I don't know. But an example, this is one I can think of very practically. Thursdays for VSSM, I've been teaching in our school of ministry for over 10 years. I love it. It's an incredible gift. There's a reality sometimes. By 6:30 p.m., when you've already done other things, you have stuff going on, Pastor Matthew, Pastor Rich can attest to this. There are times, especially when it's winter and it's dark, that I have this thought that says, wow, I would like to stay home, and I would like to watch a Hallmark movie. I think that. I totally think that. And I get in my car and I can like feel myself being like, I have to change my attitude really fast. And I start going, all right, Jesus, thank you so much that I get to go. Thank you so much that I'm going to be with believers who are hungry for you. Thank you, Jesus, that I get to watch people be healed on a Thursday night. Thank you, Jesus, that I get to watch people be raised from death to life. Thank you, Jesus, that this is what I get to do. And I talk myself out of my emotion of, you know, I just want to be home. I talk myself into Thanksgiving, and then I walk in the room, and I'm like, this is amazing. I'm so blessed. I can't believe I get to do this. It's actually my job description is to walk people into the kingdom of God. Like, are you kidding me? I'm like, I have no room for complaints ever. Thank you, Lord. Do you know how many times my papa has had to do that? He's gone out, he's watering, he's fixing things, he's building the campground with children. We have amazing pastors around us who've had to live things out, who've had to go through hard things, and they burn for Jesus. And they did it with families. I have a lot more sympathy towards those with families now, because I'm like, oh, it's different now with Hudson. My like 20-year-old Christy, you know, she could grind hard. She could just push through, and now she's like, wow, I have to plan a lot more things. I have to be a lot more dependent upon people, and praise God, his grace is sufficient for me. So I believe that we really need to be ones who live with an attitude of gratitude. I 100% believe that's what keeps people out of the promises of God so often. We get plugged in, we experience him, we're fired up. And then we're like, well, this isn't as fun or flashy as it was a little bit ago. This doesn't feel as awesome anymore. And I say this because I've been challenged by it so many times and have to keep leaning into it. It's not like something that's just magically gone now. I battled it one time. It's a continual choice. And things come up. You know, you're driving here and you have so many things that can happen. Right before you come to church, blow out diaper and you're like, what do I do? You know, there's just life that comes. But will I choose to give thanks in all situations and actually submit to the will of God? When I do that, the fruit of my life is incredible. I actually walk in the joy of my salvation because I realize his hand in everything. And all of a sudden, my perspective comes and I realize, oh, I am seated in the heavenly places and I'm seeing things the way that he wants me to. Versus, come on, Grandma. She's, you know, a pastor's wife. She's had to live this out. You get disappointed by people. People do stuff and you're like, whoo, that's okay. He's called me. I'm grateful. This is hard right now. I'm an overcomer in him. He's so good. This is something Steve Backlund talks about. He says, my feelings, they aren't always true, but they reveal what I'm believing to be true. So my feelings are most definitely not always true. Postpartum feelings, I really experienced that. It's very real. Where you're like, oh, these feelings are not me. I remember telling myself that, where I was like, okay, I've never felt this way, and I know this is not me. I had some of those baby blues, and I would have to say, like, nope, this isn't me. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, Lord, sweet. I just remember sitting there and, like, having these blues come, and I would just start singing songs from when I was young, you know, about, like, the joy of the Lord is my strength. So many different things, and I felt it. I knew I needed to do it when I woke up, and I'd put worship on because that feeling, I was like, this isn't me. So I'm going to give thanks, and I'm going to worship. And it took me out of those blues that it made me have a lot more compassion for people, though, too, because I realized how easy it could be to settle into depression, settle into depths, because I started to believe this feeling could have been me. But I knew, I'm like, whoa, this feeling's not me. And then I got free. But it was a choice. And so I do believe that we oftentimes settle into things because we don't fight properly. Like, joy is a choice. You got to fight for it. It's yours. Like, it's our inheritance. You got to choose it and you got to fight for it. You can have, you know, an argument with your spouse, and that's okay. Like, it's okay if you're having an argument. It's okay if you're having frustrations that you're working through, but what are you going to do about it? You know, the Bible tells us, be angry and sin not. And now everyone's like, did you have a big argument? I'm like, no, but I say these things as life, where it's like, okay, we're going to go through things. I'm not going to act like the Christian life is butterflies and rainbows. We're people. We're people who have different, you know, mindsets, experiences, encounters that form us. We're raised in different families, all these things. And if I don't realize that I can walk through life, I can have healthy conversations, and I can have joy, we just kind of settle. And I'm not going to act like joy, I've experienced it in many different ways. I remember one time when I was in South Africa, there was a service we were at, and there were these girls that whenever I came around them, there's these two specific girls, whenever we came in contact with each other, the three of us would laugh, like, hysterically. I mean, I truly was overcome with the joy of the Lord. I couldn't help but laugh. And I hadn't experienced it quite like that. I've had it where the presence of God has come over me, and I laugh, and it's just the sweetest, most peaceful, wonderful joy ever. This was like, I remember being like, Lord, what is going on? Because it truly was just when it was the three of us. It was this crazy laughter where I felt like the Lord overtook me, kind of laughter. And I mean, I left it like, all right, God, that was cool, interesting. And the pastor came up later and he said, those girls have been coming to church for however long it was. They've struggled with depression the whole time I've known them. They got set free just like that in the presence of God. Just like, come on, Jesus. I love it. I love when he moves like that, but I also love when he moves in my room and I'm like, I don't feel it, but I'm gonna give thanks. I'm gonna declare. I'm gonna walk my way into the promises of God. I'm gonna walk myself into the joy of the Lord. I'm gonna walk myself into gratitude. And I see it both ways. So when we talked about that our feelings aren't always true, but they're revealing what I'm believing to be true, the Holy Spirit is perfect, right? And he leads us and he guides us into all truth. So when my feelings are not aligning with the truth, the Holy Spirit can then show me what lie I'm believing. And I've experienced that many times. If I feel hopeless, it's like, well, you're the God of hope, so this doesn't line up. So you probably have a solution. And James 1:5 says, if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. Later it goes on, but don't be double-minded. So if I believe, I go into work, I go into whatever situation is happening. In this room, we've got lots of things that are going on. We've probably got a lot of problems in this room. We do. We've got a lot of problems. Let's be real. Guess what? There's a solution. Praise God. James 1:5. If any of you lacks wisdom, ask God. He'll give you the solution. Woohoo! I can rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Thank you, God. This is hard. I don't know what to do. You have a solution. And then I can feel myself settle, and I all of a sudden start looking, and then the Lord brings someone in, and you're like, oh, thank you, God. You had this planned. There always is a solution. I didn't feel like it, which showed my belief is that you don't have solutions for me. I have to figure things out on my own. So that's my belief. Which is, if I don't do this, if I don't figure this out on my own, no one's going to be able to do it. Church kid, hello. I had that. If I don't show up perfectly for my parents, if I don't show up perfectly for this church, who's going to do it? No one's going to do it. It's going to fall apart. I started putting on pressures on myself, and I have awesome parents who would never, ever in a million years put that pressure on me. If I'm not here, what's going to happen? I need to be the one who shows up, because what if this? I have to take care of the church. I have to take care of everyone. I'm responsible for people's salvation. I'm responsible for their life. That's right. That's how I felt, Riley. I felt that way, sis. You know, it was a total wrong belief. Put fake pressure on myself, really false pressures. Starts to make ministry heavy. Starts to make, that's the stuff that makes you burn out and then get really disappointed. And then you're like, great, I failed. I went through a breakthrough ministry. Yay. I did not expect what was going to come up. If anyone hasn't done breakthrough ministries, do it. Our teams are the best. They're amazing. You know what came up for me? We asked the Holy Spirit, all right, Lord, if there's anything you want to reveal. And it was a family that left the church when I was a youth pastor. And I believed that they left the church because of me. And as a 20-year-old youth pastor who clearly had a lot to learn, you know, I'm like pretty much the same age as people I'm pastoring. I believed a lie that, oh man, that family left because of me. And you know, backstory, that wasn't the case, but it felt very real, which then was it became a stronghold in my life, and the Lord totally freed me of it. Thank you, Jesus, because he's so good. But that belief, you know, that started to then put fear in me of like, like, if I do something wrong, is someone going to leave? Which is such a wrong pressure. Like, his yoke is easy. His burden's light. But that's stuff that takes the joy of the Lord away from us. And I want to be very real with us as people and as the people of God, as the children of God, because we get burdened with this. And then we go out of commission because we're like, that felt heavy. I felt really discouraged. I don't want to do this. It's super real. And it's, thank you, Jesus. I got totally freed. And because he's kind, the Lord wants to lead us into freedom, and his kindness leads us to repentance. But that was something that I had to be freed of, but it was in my mind, and I didn't even realize it because I just let it, you know, settle. But then it became a stronghold in my life rather than renewing my mind. And that stronghold would cause some fear and anxiety, like hidden fears and anxieties where things would come up and I'd be like, is it gonna happen? Can anyone relate?
Yes.
Okay. So I want us to anchor ourselves in some truths. That we're to have an attitude of gratitude, that there's always a solution. You know, I had to believe that, oh wow, I'm his and the church is his, and he loves people, and he's a perfect pastor, perfect leader, perfect shepherd. Another belief to have is that we're in process and we're learning. Woo! Thank you, Jesus. I'm in process. Thank you, Jesus. I'm learning. Philippians 4, let's go to verse 11. You're such a rock star, Laura, because I gave her a layout and we were going just whoosh, not the layout at all. And this is her first time and she rocks. Oh my word. Okay, not that I speak in regard to need, for I have learned. I'm in process, I'm learning. I have learned in whatever state I am to be content. We can keep going just because it's so good. Verse 12, I know how to be abased and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things, I have learned both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Yay. Yay. That was learned. Yay. I'm in process. I'm learning to be content. I'm learning to be content when it doesn't make sense and it doesn't look exactly like I want it to be. I'm learning to be content in all things. When I have so much, when I have little, when whatever it is, he learned to be content. So I'm in process. I'm learning. Come on. It's easier to be a lot more gracious with ourselves when we believe that. The Lord finishes what he starts. Philippians 1:6 says, he, being confident of this very thing, that he who has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. He finishes what he starts. I'm in process. I'm learning. I'm so grateful that you finish what you start, Jesus. Woo! Yay! That's how we rejoice in the Lord. We talked, Kai, you shared about this earlier, about living, worshiping in spirit and truth. This is how we do it in truth. Because earlier in worship, we're like, woo, make our boast in Jesus. And now we're like, okay, whew, this is how I live this out. Thank you. I'm going to rejoice in you, Jesus. Thank you. You're finishing what you started in me. Whoa, I didn't respond the best, but I repented and I'm learning. Yes. We celebrate progress, not perfection. I'm getting better. Whoop, whoop. Not that I've already attained or am perfected, but I press on. Now they explain that I didn't have it all figured out. If we read the Bible, they didn't have it all figured out. Yay. It's encouraging. They did silly things. I think of Peter. I can relate with Peter sometimes because he was just really like, blah. I'm like, I had to cut an ear off too, for sure. I'd be like, I'm doing it for you, Jesus, ear. And he's like, no. Dang it. Okay, I'm sorry. I'm in progress and I get to celebrate it. I'm getting better. Woohoo. Yay. I get to count it all joy. James 1:2. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials. Are we able to do the rest of those, sis? Verse 3, I didn't tell you that, but I might just pull it up real quick. Well, first of all, bank it on that. We get to count it all joy. You're the best. Knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience, but let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. Yay, God. I get to be patient. Yay, God. Ooh, you're having your perfect work in me. Yay. I'm building spiritual muscles. Yay. Woo. I get to be patient. You're teaching me to love people. Yay. Woo. Patience is being perfected in me. Yeah. That's the count it all joy. So remembering that I get to count it all joy. Life with Jesus is filled with joy. The promises are wonderful. I mean, it's awesome. Everything we go through is an invitation to become more and more like him. We go from glory to glory. 2 Corinthians 3, verse 17. Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty, freedom. Verse 18. Laura, you're seriously such a saint. But we all, with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being, yay, into the same image from
glory to
glory. Woo! Just as by the Spirit of the Lord. But we all, with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord. I'm being conformed, you know, into the image of God. I'm going from glory to glory. Yes. No matter what's happening around me, whatever is going on, yay, God. There's a solution. Yay, Lord. You finish what you start. I'm in process. I'm learning. Yay. I don't have to beat myself up so bad. There's therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, right? I was pretty good at condemning myself. I was pretty good at beating myself up. Can anyone relate? Yeah. You're in process. Yay. You're learning. Woo. Count it all joy. I'm building those spiritual muscles. Patience is having its perfect work in me. You know why it's perfect? Because I'm challenged. I have to trust. I have to lay down my rights. I have to seek to understand. I have to all of the things that aren't flashy or fun, but produce righteousness and actually make me more and more like him. I tell you what, with Hudson, I told Ryan, I was like, wow, I have a lot more patience in me than I realized. Because I can be incredibly patient with my son. I just need to learn how to have the same patience with everyone else. It was real. I'm like, he's perfect. Everything he does is great. This is why he's doing that, babe. Babe, he's trying to communicate this. He doesn't know how to communicate yet. Rye's like, yep. But it was that reminder. I'm like, oh no, I have it in me. Now what am I going to do? Am I going to choose to actually live that out with people? So that's why it's important. It matters. I'm excited about what the Lord is doing, and I just want to challenge us. I want to call us out. I want to call us out and up. This is what we get to live into. We get to live in. Joy can be our absolute portion in the midst of trials. We can count it all joy if we choose to. And when I choose to, the fruit is beautiful. It's way better fruit than when I don't, and I know it. I absolutely know it because we can feel it as well. So that's my challenge for us. Let's lean in. Let's come on, girl. Yes. I love it. I'm going to give a practical example. We can stand. I guess one of the questions is, are you a thermostat or are you a thermometer? Which one? Are we ones who just read the room and just lean into that? We're like, this is what the room's saying, so I'm going to be this same temperature. I'm going to operate the same way. Or am I going to be the one who's like, yeah, no, I'm changing the atmosphere. I'm changing the environment. I'm going to count it all joy. I'm going to bring solutions. I'm going to be one who leans into the God of hope, who gets to actually have all joy and all peace. I'm going to renew my mind to the truth of what Jesus is saying. A good picture for us is, have you ever been in an elevator and it's like awkward silence? You know, that moment you step in and you're like, okay, we're either not saying anything to each other, or one person is going to break the silence and be like, so, how's this? And then it changes the atmosphere. Okay, let's do that. Let's be the ones who change the atmosphere, who actually lean into the joy of the Lord, who speak life, who are intentional with our words, that we're craftsmen and craftswomen with our words, just be like actually building something beautiful with what we're speaking, who are intentional. So let's be the ones who go in the elevator, who change the atmosphere, who do all the wonderful things with the Lord, and let's see the fruit of it. How about it? Yeah. All right? All right, let's close our eyes. Jesus, thank you so much. Thank you for setting us up for success. Thank you that the joy of the Lord really does get to be our strength. It really does get to be our empowerment. Thank you that you always have a solution. And I thank you for giving us the mind of Christ. And so Holy Spirit, I just ask that you would help us to be so aware of what you're saying, what you're doing, and that you would reveal to us any lie that we've been believing, and that you want to infuse it with your truth and your life and your hope that's going to make it so where we actually live with purpose, that we aren't ones who sit on the sideline, but we jump in the game because we believe the truth of what you say. So I bless everyone in this place. I thank you for what you're doing in us, Lord. Thank you that you're teaching us to be a people of praise in every area, to give thanks, to love you, to live a lifestyle of worship, actually rejoicing in you in all things. So we thank you and we love you. And I thank you that you care about our souls. You care about our emotions, and you want us to be healthy and whole and free in every single area. So I'm going to call the ministry team up just as I was sharing that. I do believe that if that's something that you're like, I hear this and I want that. First of all, I encourage you, start to practice these things. Speak life. Look at yourself in the mirror and tell yourself something good about yourself. It's really awkward. Stare yourself in the eyes and actually compliment yourself. It can feel so incredibly awkward, but do it. And keep speaking life, keep doing these things. But I also believe that as the ministry team is here, if, like I said, if that's something that you've struggled with, emotional, if you've just felt stuck, like you've kind of felt like you've had this cloud over you, we've got people who would love to walk you into freedom, and they hear from the Lord, and the Holy Spirit wants you to be free, right? Yes. So you've got people who are equipped to help you walk into freedom. So I encourage you, today's the day to be free, not be stuck in the cloud, not be stuck in that, but walking with clarity. So we just bless you. We thank you for the ministry team. You're totally welcome to come. Thank you for what you're doing, Jesus. We bless everyone here in your beautiful name, Lord. Amen.